Starting Be'ezus Hashem, Daf Yud Dalet, and we are picking up in the middle of the sugya of Maimid Shlashtan. We'll start with some stories today, and just to jump back into it, we had mentioned the idea Rav brought down that you can make a kinyan Maimid Shlashtan. We discussed it in the context of both a halva and a pekadoy, meaning that in the context of a halva, if the malva wants to redirect or give the money that the leva owes him to someone else, so the three of them are there, Maimed Shlashtan, the three of them are there, and the three of them decide together, Malva, Leiva, and the Mezake, essentially here the Leiva is functioning as the Shliach, if you put this into the context of a Pekadain, so then you would have the Noisein, the Makabel, and the Shliach, or the person who has a Pekadain next to him. Those would be the three people, and essentially when the three of them get together, that would make a real Kenyan. How does that work? So the Gemara said yesterday that Hani, it's one of the three things. It's the Hani Gimel three things that we had said. Hani Tlas Mili Shavinu Rabbanon Kehilchus Abalei Taima. Rashi said it's kind of like Halacha L'Meishim Sinai. And we explained that in two different ways. Either like Rashi, that's specifically referring to the Halva, when there's a loan there, meaning there's nothing actually, there's not a physical item that's Be'en, so there's nothing to give over. But on the Pekadain, that was one of the ways we explained it, according to the way the Achronim explained Rashi, that when you're talking about a Pekadain, then just like the Rabbanon were masaking all different types of Kinyanim, this is another form of Kinyan, so that one makes more sense. So that makes sense that it'll be just another form of Kinyan. According to Tosis, it's the whole Chiddush here is the fact that it's a Maisa Kinyan, even though you're not doing a Maisa, but Akoponim, it's this idea that Maimed Shlashtan, and that actually kind of works, that we said Shavinu Rabbanon Kehilchus Abalei Taima. And we're going to jump back into some of the stories today, but one thing I just wanted to mention, because what we're going to do is we're going to go back to the idea we had back on Yud Aleph Amud Beis when we brought the Mishnah, Ha'imer Ten Getzela Ishti. According to the Rabbanon, we said Shavshechu Zela Avdi Amratzo Lachzer B'Shneim Yachzer Divrei Amer V'Chavim V'Gitei Nashim. Right? So we said, how could you go back on it? So we said, how could it be that the Shliach, when I give something to the Shliach, I say to someone else, that you can't go back? Meaning, how is it that he's being Zeich on it? You're actually affecting a Kenyan. And we said, Tenu Ka'imer, Kolo Imer, Tenu Ka'imer Zachu Dami. We're going to have to go back to that sugya. When you say Tenu, you give something to a Shliach and say Tenu, it's like you say Zachu. So the question is here, when you're dealing with Maimed Shlashtan, and Tosfos actually asked this on Yud Aleph, why do you need the concept of Maimed Shlashtan if Tenu Kazachu actually works? And Tosfos has his own answer, but the way that, just to understand this, so there's two different ways we're discussing of giving something over. You're either saying Tenu, which essentially you're just saying give it to someone else, so you don't need the three parties there. I'm just telling the Shliach, Tenu. If Tenu Kazachu, so then what's this whole idea of Maimed Shlashtan that you need to have the Makabel, right? The Noisein, the Makabel, and the Shliach, if all you really need is the Noisein and the Shliach, and Tenu Kazachu, that should actually work to affect it. So Tosfos gives one answer, but it's going to create some other issues and a different kind of way of learning a lot of the sugyas that we're going to have today. So I don't want to be confusing. So we'll go with another answer. There is that Tenu, and it's really partial. Tenu is when I'm giving the object over to the Shliach. So it's Tenu. I'm giving it to him. Tenu Kazachu. You need Maimed Shlashtan here because the object is not in front of us. I'm not giving anything to the Shliach. So I understand when I'm giving something to the Shliach, that can create a situation where it could be mezake, where it could be a zochu. But when it's, for instance, a malva loiva, where the loan happened a while ago, right? The Gemara tried to say, well, maybe it's because of the original Shiva loan, maybe it's because I'm getting more time to pay because it goes on to somebody else. And then we ended up saying, no, it's one of these three things that are Shavinu Kehilchus Abalei Taima. So again, here, or the Pekadain, right, where the three of us are here, the owner of the Pekadain, the person who's holding on to the Pekadain, and the future recipient, again, the item, I'm not giving the item over, it's already biyad of the Nifka, it's already biyad of the person who's in his house that he's holding on to it. So again, since I'm not giving an item over, so that would be kind of the two. If we want to understand, Tenu Kizachu, if I give something over to a Shliach, he does have the ability to be mezakeh for a third person, I don't need that third person there. But this idea, Maimed Shlashtan, is even if the item is not here, I'm not actually getting anything over, I can gather up the three of us, meaning the giver, the recipient, and the shliach, And between the three of us, we can create a shiba or a chayv to transfer that item from one party to another party. Okay, so now we're going to begin, if we go down about 12 lines. Amar le Rav, Rav Acha Bar Dala. So Rav, who had brought in this din that we had mentioned, Amay Mishlashdan, so now we're going to have a story. So Rav says to Rav Acha Bar Dala, Kav de Meirika Isli Gabach. I have a kav, it's a certain amount of a certain spice. Meirika, maybe it's a saffron, some sort of spice. Okay, he says, I want Yahava Laplaini. I want you to give it. Again, I don't have it with me. You don't have it with you. I want you, but he assembles the three. And he says, I want you to give it to so-and-so, Ba'apeh kamina lach, delay hadranabi. And by the way, the recipient, the person that I'm giving it to, you're holding, person number one is holding on to it. I'm assembling you. And person number two, who I'm going to give it to. So Rav says, by the way, you should just know, person number two here, the ultimate recipient is here. You know why he's in front of us? Because, Ba'apeh kamina lach, delay hadranabi. So you don't back out. Okay, so he's specifically saying, I'm doing it here so you don't back out. It sounds like the fact that Rav had to make this proclamation so you don't back out means that, oh, otherwise you could have backed out? Why did Rav have to say that? All Rav could have said was, that kav of spices, give it to so-and-so. And that would be considered a mai mitzlush, and the three of them are there. Why did he have to specifically say, I'm saying it in front of the recipient, the ultimate recipient, the person I'm trying to give the gift to, so you don't back out? Miklal di bay hader bay. Matzi Hadrabeg, so he could have backed out? So the Gemara says, no, he can't back out. It's Bayim Shloshan, Hachikamar. Dvar Malala Leinitlu L'Chazara. Okay, no, you can't back out because it is an effective kinyan. It's essentially, we're going to consider it as if it's given to the recipient who, right, the receiver of the gift. Ha'amar Rav Chadazimna. Well, the Gemara says, well, again, what was Rav coming to say? He already said this, Din. Amar Rav, Huna, Amar Rav. Rav Huna said, B'shem Rav, like we had. Manali Biyatcha, Taneo L'Ploini. That you owe me some money, the malva goes to the leiva and says, give it to so-and-so. But my mitzlashtan, if he does it with the person who he's trying to transfer the money to, kana, you're going to be kana. So again, why do we need this other story that Rav had to make a whole spectacle saying, I'm saying it ba'peh, so that you can't go back? We already know this din. This is Rav's din of that my mitzlashtan would actually work to affect the kinyan. So imeahi, if we just had that, then hava mina hanimili matana maruba. I might think that's only a matana maruba, meaning something significant would be a strong commitment in front of three, and requires three in order to make a strong commitment. Ava matana muet is lately bayi b'fan of. Maybe you don't need the recipient there if it's just a little kava spices. Kamashwan, we're coming to say that even when it's something that is relatively insignificant, it would not work to transfer over to the ultimate recipient without a maimed shloshdan. Okay, we have another story. Hanu ginoi, so we had certain gardeners. Da'avid chushben abahadi adadi. So they made a cheshbin amongst themselves. Okay, so they finished tallying up the day's take, and I guess they had some sort of agreement where they were going to split the profits or split the money. And it turns out that one of the gardeners, David Chushman Adadi, Pash Chamesh Istri Zuzi Gabi Chan Minayu. So he had an extra five Istri Zuzi. He had an extra $5, whatever the amount of money is. Okay, so Amri Lay. So the others told him, instead of cutting us in, right, we should divide this money too, just like we're dividing the rest of the money. Instead of dividing this money, I'll tell you what. Yavion nia le lamari ara. Go give it to the landowner. I guess they owed money to the landowner for rent or taxes. One girsa here, the Bach says, betaxa, that there was some sort of land taxes they had to pay to the owner of the field. And therefore, they said, instead of us splitting the money and each paying on our own, I'll tell you what, you have an extra $5, just go take it and give it directly to the landowner. Okay, now he did it, ba'ape mare ara. He did it in front of the landowner, so that would be considered a maimed shloshan, right? You have a bunch of gardeners. Essentially, you have money needs to go from one to the other. So the gardener who got the extra money in this situation would be like the leiva. The other gardeners would be like the malva. And they have the owner of the land here who the ultimate recipient of the money should go to. That would be considered a maimed shloshan. The three parties are there. And therefore, he said, go ahead and just give that extra $5 on behalf of all of us. Just go give it to the Mari Ara. The Kanamine, and by the way, side point, the Mari Ara was also Kainet. He made a Kenyan. So we're not even relying on the Maimed Shloshdan. And I guess the Mefarshim bring down that he didn't know that a Maimed Shloshdan would work. But again, we're bringing this story here because it has to do with Maimed Shloshdan. So we'll see. L'saif azal avad chushbena ben delay l'nafshei. So he goes back home And so he goes back home, or he goes to get his back to his shop stall to get his money, and he recounts it, and he realizes, whoops, I didn't really actually have the extra $5. I said that I collected another $5. We were going to split it, but I never really had it. So he didn't actually have anything. Okay? So then, also, so he comes in front of Rav Nachman, meaning, and Tosfos actually brings down over here that it has to be that everybody agreed. Okay, let's see the envelope. Oh, Taka, you don't have any more. Now, the question isn't, you're right. He didn't really have the extra $5. We confirm that. Otherwise, he wouldn't be believed. He's right, Tosfos. We wouldn't say Migu to say Parati. He wouldn't be believed that on the first count, when it came to telling everybody how much money there was, he said extra, and then, oh, whoops, sorry, haha, just kidding, there's no extra. So LMI, everybody agreed to it. That's not up for debate. What is up for debate is, well, he was already, number one, he was mocking it, and number two, he gave it over, those $5, to Maimon Shloshtan. So he comes to Rav Nachman, he says, what should I do? Amar Lei, my Avid Lach. So Rav Nachman said, I can't help you, sorry. Chad Adam Rav Hun Amar Rav, because we have this din of Maimon Shloshtan, which you gave it over. V'oid hakanu minach. And by the way, also, the Baal Sad already made the Kenyan. So it's too late. Now, and Tosfos points this out over here. Rav Nachman he thought that this guy was just trying to get out of his chayv. So he said, number one, you can't get out of something done by Maimon Shloshtan. That's the chiddush here. You can't. And by the way, you made a kenyan, so of course you can't get out of it. And he didn't realize this minor, seemingly minor detail, which is not a minor detail, it's a major detail, is that, whoops, he got the count wrong, and he never really got extra money. So
there was no okay?
There was no extra money, but the question was, did he commit himself? So Rachman said, sorry, I can't help you. Number one, you gave over the money, Maimon Shloshtan. Number two, so Amar Le Rava, one second, Atu, hi, Mika Amar lo yavinalach. No. You got. He said to Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman, sorry, you got the details of the story wrong. He wasn't just trying to back out of his commitment. That wasn't what he was trying to do. Deleka gabay ka amar. He was saying, I didn't own it. I never had the extra money. That the whole thing was a mistake. Amar le. Rav Nachman said, oh, whoops, in Cain. If so, kinyan b'tayis huvachol kinyan b'tayis chayzer. You're right. That could be chayzer. This is not a Maimon Shloshtan. We're bringing the stories of Maimon Shloshtan to show the other example. Not a mistake, but otherwise, it's a firm hard kinyan. Okay, so now we're going to transition back to, and we kind of started off today, just explaining the difference, back to this idea of tenu we had that brought on Yud Aleph Amud Beis, that we ten getzem le'ishti, tenu le'pleni, tenu kizachu dami. And really, that's what we're going to be spending the lion's share of the sugya on for the rest, until the end of the parak, itmar. So, ha'ilech mana le'pleni, shiny chayev loy. So let's say you say, give a mana, you give $100 to so-and-so, shiny chayavoy. I owe him this money. Okay, so now this is going to be a din over here. So again, this is not a gift situation, but rather he's returning the $100 that I owe. Okay, I'm giving you $100, gives it to the shliach, saying this is $100 that I owe the malva. Please go bring it back to the malva. Amar Rav chayav b'achrayas. Okay, so you are going to be chayav b'achrayas, meaning the sender is chayav. If something should happen to it beyond the shliach, he's going to be chayiv. Meaning you're still on the hook. Don't think that because you sent $100 for the shliach, you're done. V'im balachzer in a chayzer. But even though you're on the hook for it, says Rav, an amazing chiddush, you can't go to the shliach and say, by the way, I decided I don't really trust you. I realize you don't really have it all together. I decided, you know what, I want you to give me the $100 back. I don't want you to be my shliach over here. Once the shliach accepts it on behalf of the malva, that would seem like he's accepting it on behalf of the malva. So again, the loan's not considered payback until it actually gets to its hand. Right? We saw this in regards to, let's say, for instance, the get shechor. It doesn't actually affect. But since the idea of tenu kizachu, according to the way some of Farshim learned it, is that it's a zechia that the mishaleach, the sender, can't back out. He can't take it back. So I gave it, I the loiva essentially is trying to get the $100 back to the malva. He gives it to a shleach and he says, please take this back to the malva. Even though the mishaleach is still chayiv, if anything oinsin should happen to it, some sort of einish should happen and the money is lost, he would still be chayiv until it actually gets to the hand of the malva. But yet, he can't take that $100 back because the mishalech functions as a hoylech gezechi. That's what we're thinking. Okay? So the Gemara says, so therefore, ein echayzer. Shmuel Amar, no. They go hand in hand. So since the mishalech is ultimately on the hook, until the malva gets paid back. In balach or chayzer, therefore, he can't be chayzer. He can decide, I don't trust the shliach, and since it's ultimately his responsibility, he does have the ability to take the money back from the sender, the shliach. So now, lema b'hakam efilgi. So let's say, what's the machlekes over here between Ram and Shmuel? Demar sabar haylach gizechi dami, umar sabar haylach lav gizechi dami. So it sounds very tempting to just simply say, it's a haylach gizechi. When I give it to the shliach, is it a zechi? Well, if it's a zechi, meaning if the shliach, when he gets it, it's a schus for the malva to get his money back, so therefore he is being mezaka the malva, so the mishaleach can no longer take it back. Okay, yet, like we said, it's not considered payback until it gets to his hand. Or do we say, if then he's just a regular old shliach, and just like I gave it to him, I can take it back from him. The question is, was the shliach, when he accepted it, was he mizaket on behalf of the malva or not? So the Gemara says, loy, to kule alma hoylech kezechi dami. Really, everybody holds hoylech kezechi. In which case, you shouldn't be able to take it back from the, if it's hoylech kezechi, then as soon as the mishalech, the sender, we'll call him the loyva in the situation, gives it to the shliach, the malva automatically has a schus, and the mishaleach can't take it back, even though the sender is still on the hook. What's the machlekes? Mar savar loy amin amigu, mar savar amin amigu. That it's a question of, will I say amigo? Meaning, really, it should be that the shliach was mezaken on behalf of the malva. Now the question is, will I have amigo, which says, since I'm on the hook, so therefore, I have the ability, since I'm on the hook, to make sure until it gets paid back, therefore I have the ability to call it back from the shliach. Which means, and Rashi says here, but if it was a matana, so this makes a lot of sense in the idea of amigu, in the context, if I'm saying halach kezechi, that in the context of this specific case of a loan. But that means that Shmuel would agree that if, let's say, I'm giving you a gift, where I have no achrayas, I don't have to make sure it gets to your hand, I'm giving you a gift. So that the mishaleach, if we say hoylech kezechi, as soon as the shliach accepts it from the mishaleach, so then he is zeicha on behalf of the beneficiary of the gift, and therefore the sender could no longer take it back. It's only by a milva, because the sender or the loiva is essentially still on the hook, there Shmuel would say amigo. Rav still holds? No. It works against you and it doesn't work for you. Meaning, as soon as you released it, hoylech kezechi, the shliach now has accepted it on behalf of the malva, but yet you're still on the hook. And Tanya, Kabasa the Rab, we talk to see a brisa like Rab. If you say, go give this money to Pliny, Shani Chayav Loi, or Tain, right? So again, what we see here is Hoylech and Tain are ideas. Hoylech and Tain really go hand in hand. It's either or. Hoylech or Tain. Okay, that would be as a gift. Hoylech money to Pliny, Shani Chayav Loi, or Tain money to Pliny, Shani Chayav Loi. That would normal. Again, here you're Chayav Tim. So it's again, it's a malva loiva situation. Hoylech money to Pliny, give money to so-and-so, it's a pikadon sheyesh le biyadi. I was holding on to $100 for him. Okay, it would make no practical difference here. Tain mana le pliny pikadon sheyesh le biyadi. Or you set up a lashon tain. So either it's a loan, I owe him the money, or it's a pikadon, I'm just holding on to his money. But either way, I got to get it back to him. So what we say is, chayiv b'achri yusay. You're going to be chayiv until it actually gets back to the true owner or the malva, the malachzer ain't a chayzer. Yet, even though you're on the hook, we don't say migu. That's what Rav says. We don't say migu. You're still going to be chayiv. You're going to be chayiv b'achriusoy. And the malachzer ain't a chayzer. We do say halach kezechi in this situation. That is the way we're understanding it. Now, the Gemara just says 1 second. Pikadoin. So if it's specifically a pikadoin, so there's a little bit of a difference. When we're talking about a halva, so the money's already spent, it's really considered my money until I pay back the malva. When it's a pikadon, I'm holding on, it's entrusted in my care, which means part and parcel of my responsibility is, I should be able, when it comes to a pikadon, we should be able to differentiate between the two. When it comes to a pikadon, since I'm responsible for its care, if I determine that you, the shliach, are no longer a trusted, verified agent to be able to deliver these goods safely, since it's my responsibility to make sure, again, it's not that I'm giving you my money to pay somebody back, it's a pikadon, it's his money. When I give it to you, I have to make sure you're trustworthy. Well, if I determine that I gave it to you and said, oh, you know what, I'm not so sure that he is up for the task, why shouldn't I be able to call back? It's my responsibility, ultimately, it's in my care, and it's my responsibility. So, pikadon leimalei, ein mitzani shei pikadon biyad echar. I don't want it to be in this guy's hand. Meaning, and the way Rashi explains this, Ein Ritzayin Shal Mafkid. In other words, I can determine that the Mafkid doesn't want. that the true owner wouldn't trust you. So I gave it to you, and I'm like, you know what? He wouldn't trust you. So now I'm going to take it back. Well, so we just said you can't take the condom back. Why not? It's my responsibility to determine whether or not the owner of the item would trust this shliach. So the Gemara says, that we're talking about a very specific case where the shomer, okay, meaning the person who had been holding on to it, was an established kafron. He was an established denier. He was a liar. And therefore, we know that the true owner of the object would want it out of his hands. And even if it meant going to the shliach, we're not going to leave. So that's a very specific case. It sounds like if he wasn't hochzak kafron, then it would be a good time. I mean, even though Rav said that the sender is going to be on the hook and can't take it back, that would only be by something like a loan. But a pekadain, if he is known as, if he is a known trusted person, meaning the person who's holding on to it, and he's not a kafron, so then he would be able to determine that, by the way, when I gave it to the shliach, he's not the right guy for it. The baal pekadain wouldn't really want the shliach to have it. Now, by the way, there's also huchsa kafron, the Rishonim stretch this, and they say, well, logically, if it's huchsa kafron, which means that the true owner of the object wants it out of the sender's hands, because the sender's a kafron, so he's fine with it as a shliach, and that's why the person, the mishaleach, can't go back. So that means if the shliach is also someone who we know is trusted, or was perhaps authorized by the true owner of the item, then again, you would also be back into the situation where you couldn't, the mishaleach could not call it back from the shliach, because, again, we do say, Rav says, if you look at this globally, when we look at this, we say that hoylech or tenu is ke zachi, okay, meaning hoylech ke zachi, and therefore, when I'm giving it over, gomi mezaket, so as long as I'm not putting this item into risk, okay, or unnecessary risk, as long as everything's going to be okay, that means that I cannot pull it back, even though I, the sender, am still on the hook. Okay, now, Rav Sheshes, and we'll see, again, similar stories of this, Rav Sheshes Havalei Asharta de Sarvali Mechuza. So he had a debt that was owed for, Sarvali are like cloaks or coats, okay, in Mechuza. So essentially what Rav Sheshes did was he was in the business of selling coats, but what he would do is he would sell the goods on what we call consignment. So he would give the coats in different places. You be my agent over here. And when they sell, you'll forward the money back to me. Okay, so he was owed money back from one of the consignees, right? So one of the people who were selling the goods, one of the merchants. So Amarle, Rav Yosef Bar Chama, so in Mechuzah. So Amarle, Rav Yosef Bar Chama. So Rav Yosef Bar Chama, who was going to come from Mechuzah, he said, Bahadi da Asyi, when you come from Mechuzah, I soon yale. Do me a favor, bring me my money. That shopkeeper who sold a bunch of cloaks, he owes me some money. Go bring me that money. Azol Yavinule. So he goes to the shopkeeper, and the shopkeeper gives the money to Rav Yosef Bar Chama. He takes it out, he opens the cash register. Okay, he sits there, he puts it on the glass counter, and he says, Amri le, nikni minach. He says, I'll tell you what, but because I, the shopkeeper, owe Rav Sheshes the money, you are coming to act as a shliach, I don't want to be on the hook. When I give you the money, I want the debt paid. Like we said, what does Rav hold? That if the mishaleach sends it, as soon as the shliach gets it, so he can't take it back, but the mishaleach, the sender, is still on the hook until Rav Sheshes would actually get it. So he's saying, look, I put the money on the counter, I'm giving you the money, okay, and... but I want you to accept responsibility. I don't want to be on the hook for it anymore. So Amar Lahu, so the Rabbi Yosef said, fine, in, okay, L'saif ishtam Lahu. So in the end, it turned out that he was able to evade it. Okay, so let's say the guy said, okay, here, sign this paper, and that you're accepting responsibility, and I don't know if this is the exact case, but he took the money and ran out of the store. Okay, so he never signed the paper. That was the point. He never accepted responsibility. So kiyasa legabe. So Rav Yosef comes back with the money to Rav Sheshes. Amar Lei says to Rav Sheshes, "Shaper avadta. You did good. Deloy shavis nafshach, that you didn't put yourself into a position by accepting responsibility of owing me the money. Eved loy vele ish malve. Okay, because like we see that you didn't put yourself into the shoes of the loyva, because we see that the loyva essentially functions as an eved to the malva, meaning it's his responsibility to make sure that the malva gets paid. And good thing you didn't accept responsibility. Or a different way that he said this, lishna achrina shaper vadata eved loy vele ish malve. Good thing that you didn't accept it, because he is my eved, not you." Okay? Either way, that was the idea here, that again, this solidifies or cements the idea that the shliach doesn't ultimately bear the responsibility. It's the mishaleach unless the shliach decides to accept it. Rav Achi bar Rav Yashia, havalei ispika de kaspa. So he had a silver kli in Arda. It was in Arda. So now, Rav Achi, Amar lehu l'Rav Dustai b'Rav Yanai, v'Rav Yesi bar Kippur, v'hadi da'asisu, when you come from Arda, please bring me my isu niyale. Please bring me my silver kli back. Azu yave niyale. So they went, Rav Dustai and Rav Yesi went to the people who were holding on to the kli. Yave niyale, they gave him the kli, the shemim of this kli, gave it to him. Amri lehu, and they said, okay, nikni minaychu. So we're giving you this kli. Do you accept responsibility? Amr lehu lai. So Rav Dustai and Rav Yosi said, no, we're not idiots. We're not accepting responsibility. We're just shlichim here. Ultimately, it's your responsibility. You are the mishaleach. It's your responsibility to make sure we deliver to the final destination. Okay? So Amri lehi. So
this all depend on the circumstances if the guy was negligent or if there were
again, if if he's an inus. We're talking about if he's an inus. And Rashi made that clear, and I thought I had mentioned that. That if he's an inus, so then the shliach's not on the hook.
Right.
If he's a Baisheya, so the inus, the shliach's not on the hook, so who's on the hook? Ultimately, what we're saying is that the mishaleach's going to be on the hook. That as soon as you give it to the shliach, what we're saying here is that the shliach functions as a hoilech kizechi idea, meaning that he is mezaket on behalf, in as much, how is he mezaket? That he doesn't have to give it back to the mishaleach, but the shliach is not accepting responsibility. That's what we're saying. Now, of course, if he's negligent, then that would be any other shemer. That would, again, in Einzin, shemer, assuming he's a shemer chinam, whatever the story is, whatever the dinim subject to shemer, what we're saying is, whatever the situation would be, where the shliach would be putter, who ultimately would be on the hook for it, until it gets to him, until the object gets back to the owner or the malve, the mishaleach would be on the hook for it. Yet, what does this chus help? Giving the shliach is mezaken on behalf of the owner that the mishaleach can no longer take it back. So in all these stories that we have, the guy gave it back to he gave it to the shliach, so he could no longer take it back from the shliach, right? And he gave it to the shliach, but yet he's still on the hook.
Aren't these last cases where the shliach is not the shliach of the person who owed the money?
But so he wasn't telling him to take it mitara shliach kabbalah. He wasn't appointing him a shliach. He said, do me a favor, bring it back. He wasn't, the Mefarshim definitely addressed that. Meaning, if it would have been a appointed shliach, if when Rav Sheshis sent Rav Yosef, he would have really been appointing him a shliach, he said, go bring it back for me. He was not accepting the shlichos. Meaning, when he went to get the item, he wasn't doing it b'torah shlichus of accepting responsibility on behalf of Rav Sheshis. He was doing him a favor and bringing it back.
When Ishtam et Mahu, he was just a ganav.
Because the money belonged to Rav Sheshis, and they gave.
No, it's on it. No, it's not his money.
No, no, and they gave it to him. If you look at the story, they gave him the money. Then they said, by the way, we want you to sign a release. We want you to sign a release, releasing us responsibility now that you're the shliach. That's the way you have to dance around it. Now, so again, a very similar case. We're in the middle of a story over here. Rav Achi said, please bring me the money that I'm owed. Okay, please bring me, I'm sorry, not the money, but the silver kais that I'm owed. He told Rav Dustai, Rav Yana, Rav Dustai, Rav Yana, go to the people who were holding on to this cup. And they say, give us the cup. They give him the cup. And they say, the people who were holding on to the cup said, do you accept responsibility? Amr lehu loy. They said, no, Rav Dustai, Rav Yana said, we know this story. We're not going to accept responsibility. Amr lehu, Adrian Leolin. So give it back to us. Rav Dustai b'Rav Yanai Amar Lahu in, fine, sure. Here, you can have the cup back. Rav Yosi bar Kippur said, I'm not giving the cup back. Amar Lahu, loy. He said, I'm not giving the cup back. You gave it to me already. I'm Mezaka now, okay, in Hoylach Kezechi. You said, go bring it back. So I'm going to take it back. I don't have to resign a release to you. You're on the hook, not me. So now, Hava Kam and Tzarile. So they were bothering Rav Yosi. Okay, they were mamash beating him up. Amar Leh Chazimar, he said to Rav Dustai, Chazimar, hey Chikava, look what they're doing to me. Amar Lahu, Rav Dustai said, Tav Ramule. Good. He told the people who had previously been holding onto the cup, hit him. Okay, meaning, go ahead, hit him. What's going on? So he basically chanfed them, right? So Kiyasa Legabe. So they came back to Rav Acha. Eventually, it sounds like the cup must have gone back to the shomer, but we don't know. Either way, they come back to Rav Acha. Amar lechazi mar loy mistaya delay saison. So it's not enough. Look. So he basically came to tattletale on Rav Yosi, who got beat up, came to tattletale on Rav Dustai that he egged them on. So he said, it's not enough to loisayan that he didn't help save me. He told the people who were holding onto the cup, who had given it to us, go hit him to get the cup back. So Amar Le, Rav Achi said to Rav Dustai, am I Tavid Hachi? Why'd you do this? Amar Le, Oysim B'nei Adon Hein Amma. So those people, they were an Amma, meaning Anshei Midos Gevayim B'Koyma. Those were big, powerful, strong men. V'Koyvan Amma, okay, and their hat was an Amma, meaning even their clothes look scary. Af Malbusheim Me'umin, says Rashi. Umidabrin mechatziehen. And they spoke out of their half, meaning Rashi says that their voices were so deep and powerful that it looked like they were just speaking out of their belly buttons. Okay, meaning these were people to be scared of. And Vishmaisam Muvhalin. And even their names instill fear. Ardav Arta Upili Beresh. Oimrin, and these people, they are listened to. Oimrin Kfoisai, if they would say, lock these guys up, Kaifsin. They would tie us up. Oimrim Harugu. And if they would say, kill these guys, Hargana. Ilu Hargu es Dustai. If they would have killed Dustai, Minasan, meaning if they would have killed me, Minasan Liyane Abba Bar Kamaisi. My father's not going to be happy. Who's going to give my father another son? Okay? So he's saying, you know why I chanfed them and told them to beat him up? Because I was scared of these guys. I was really scared of these guys. So Amar Lei. So Rav Achi still wasn't satisfied. I chanfed them. Amar Lei. He said, Minei Adam, all the Krevim Lamalchus. Really? Do they have political connections? Are they Krevim Lamalchus? Amar Lei, hang, yeah. Yesh lahem susum upradim shiratzon achrayim. And do they have the means to pursue you? If Wamaisa comes down to it, could you have run away? So he says, yeah, no, they got susim and brought them. Amar Lei, hang, Amar Lei, yachi shaper abadta. Okay, then you were justifying in chanfing them. Even though we see that how bad Chanifa is, and really the Rekib Eger brings us on the side here, that he brings him a car, b'char shar, in my Gemara, it says Gittin, but it's Saita, Mem Zayin Amad Beis, that talks about, those were the sugyas we recently had about how bad Chanifa is, that the world deteriorated into Chanifa, that what we're saying is, this is, you want to know when it's okay to b'chanifa a guy? That's when it's okay. When he has all the means to pursue you at the end of the, and you really, 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 in the don't create a situation where you just think he's rich and famous, so you have to chanfa him. No. If he really, really, he has susim and pradim, he's Karav Lamalchus, he's big, then you can chanfa the guy. But the point was, over here, again, we see another example of a story where he gave it over and they refused to accept responsibility of Shlichim, that we see that the Mishaleach is on the hook. Okay, so now let's delve into the sugya of Hoylech Man.
To save yourself by telling them to...
Well, he had a way of getting out of it. Release the cup.
Yeah.
Give it back. So he didn't want to. Okay, Hoylech Man Alapani. So a person says, give money to so-and-so. V'halach u'bikshu v'lo imatsu. So what happens if I say, give money to so-and-so, and turns out the recipient had died. Tani chadiach ziru l'mashaleach. V'tani idach li'yarshim yishinishtav hulay. So one man number says, it goes back to the sender. Again, the sender sends the money with the shliach, and the recipient, turns out by the time the shliach gets there, had died. So who does it go to? One man number says it goes back to the sender. V'tani idach li'yarshim yishinishtav hulay. It goes to the yarshim of the recipient. Okay, so what's this sounds like a machlokes in lema b'haka miflagi demar savar halach kizechi demar savar halach lav kizechi. Sounds like it's a halach kizechi. If when I sent it, I said give it to so and so, it's zechi. So then it doesn't matter if it's already the shliach was zeicha for him. The shliach gets her, he's dead. Okay, fine, but it was already zeicha for him, and therefore you give it to his son. And the other man namar says that no, halach is not kizechi, and therefore until he actually gets it, yes, I intended to give this as a gift, but until he actually gets it, it's not his chus, and therefore it goes back to me. Okay, so Amar Rav Abba Mar Amal, no, the kuli alma halach lav kizechi. So even though before we said kuli alma halach kizechi. Kuliyama haylech lav kizechi. Okay, meaning, and what? V'loy kasha. Hab bari, habish chimera. We're talking about a bari, and one brisa is talking about a bari, one man is talking about a chimera. Now, let's, to understand this as simply as possible, chimera is always haylech kizechi. So we're saying it's like this. Really, haylech is lav kizechi by a bari, but if the guy who was sending it was a chimera, the sender was on his deathbed, so then, we always say his dibur, dibur shchimera ke ksuvim umesurim dami, meaning whether he's giving, the way they understand it, shchimera is a lashon, we see that Targum says when Yaakov was sick, hine avicha chayle shchimera, the uncle says. So when a person is on his deathbed and he's sick, and we say dibur shchimera ke ksuvim umesurim dami, ksuvim meaning that is how you give over karka normally, with the shtar, ksuvim. Mesurim is how you give over metaltalin, normally. What we're saying is divrei shchemira, just with the, that's a hoilech kezechi. So essentially, to understand this on a simplistic level, really, I hold hoilech is lav kezechi. Except by shchemira, hoilech is always kezechi. And that would be the machlekes here. Okay, meaning that according to the manda amar, that it goes to the yershe of the recipient. That's because the person who's sending it was a shchemira. And that's going to be hoilech kezechi. But according to the Mandamar, it goes back to the sender. Okay, that is because that is in an instance where the sender was a bari. So then we say the halach is lav kezechi. Rav Zvid Amar ha v'ha b'shchemira. Really, they're both b'shchemira. So we're always going to say halach kezechi. Except ha de'isa l'mekabel b'shas matan bais. That's as long as the recipient was around when the shliach got the money. Ha de'lesa l'mekabel b'shas matan bais. Here, the shliach wasn't around when he got the money. So essentially, if the recipient had already died, really, both brises are talking about a shchemira. So hoilech is lav kezechi by a bari, but here we're dealing with a shchemira. Both brises are dealing with a shchemira, which means that as soon as the sender says, I give the money to the shliach to go, we would say hoilech kezechi because it's a shchemira. Divrei shchemira ksuvim resuvim dami. And therefore, but what's only one? Here you have a separate mistake, which is the shchemira, you're right. But only if the guy is really alive. If it turns out that he was dead when I already sent the money, when the Shchemira sent the money, that the recipient was already gone, so then the whole thing was a mistake. And that's why it goes back to the Mishalech. Really, we do say Halech Kazechi, but I was only giving him a gift if he was alive. I didn't want to give it to his Yershim, and therefore it's a mistake. Okay, Rapapa Amar, Haba Haba Bari. No, we're dealing with a Bari. Ha, the Mis Mekabel B'chayei Noisayim. So this is a new din, and it's really going to tie it all together in the next brisa. So Rapapa Amar Haba Haba Bari, we're talking about a healthy person, and we say Halach is alav kezechi. Ha demis mekabel b'chayei noisein. So when's it going to go back to the mishaleach, to the sender? That is if the mekabel dies while the bari is still alive. Okay, meaning so if the sender is still alive, Halach lav kezechi. Turns out, okay, so I sent it on Sunday, and the shliach got there on Tuesday, and it turns out that the recipient had died on Monday. It's going to go back. Why? Hoilech is lav kezechi. But ha demis noisein b'chayei mekabel. But let's say the sender sends it on a Sunday, even though he was a bari. The shliach gets there on a Tuesday. Turns out he died Tuesday morning, but the sender died Monday. So the recipient, everybody's dying here. The recipient died on after the sender. Since it's a separate din of mitzvah l'kayim, divrei hameis, so now it's a separate din. Meaning, even though he was a bari when he sent it, and hoilech is lav kezechi, but it's a mitzvah l'kayim, divrei hameis, and since when the person died, the sender died, the recipient was still alive, not because of hoilech kezechi, mitzvah l'kayim, divrei hameis, and therefore, the recipient would have received it at that point, so therefore, now he dies 20 minutes later, it's going to go to his yershim. And that's three different ways to understand, or two ways if you don't want to commit to hoilech kezechi. Okay, if you want to commit. Now, Lema, I'm going to try to do this as expeditiously as possible. I did a little chart for the next brisa because it's like six shitas and there's two havaminas. So if you want, if it confuses you, it confuses you, but I'm going to run through from here to the end of the parak very quickly. Okay, Lema, Hoilech Kezechi Dam. So let's say Hoilech Kezechi, which is what we're bavarning, when I say Hoilech is that is chus, let's say that's a machlokes tanayim. Detanya, we're going to have six shitas. Six shitas, betanya. Hoilech mana l'ploini. So I say, give $100 to so-and-so, v'halech l'bikshu v'lein matzu. Okay, I get there, and he's dead. I can't find him, because he is gone. So yachzeru l'mishaleach. That is the Tanakama. It goes back to the mishaleach. Now, what happens if meis ha-mishaleach? What happens if the mishaleach dies? Rav Nassim, Rav Yaakov, amru, yachzeru l'yarshim mishaleach. So it goes to the yarshim of the mishaleach. V'yesh aimrim. That's the third shita. It goes to the Yershim Mishal Shtachulai. It goes to the Yershim of the recipient. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, Mishim Rabbi Yaakov, Shamar Mishim Rameir, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, Mishim Rabbi Yaakov, Mishim Rameir, Mitzvah L'Kayim Devar Hameis, which is not clear. That's a fourth shita. Okay, but it's not clear exactly what that means. That's the fifth shita. V'kan Amru, that's the Chachmei Bavel, Kol Mashi Yirtzah Shliach Yasa. Whatever he wants to do, he can do. So that's six different shitas, really five downing on one thing, but the six shitas. Amar Rav Shimon Hanasi, along six shitas plus a story. Amar Rav Shimon Hanasi, al yada hayamaisa zeh, we had this story, but Amru, this exact story, where we sent it and the guy had died, And question is, who does it go to? Ayadai hayamaisa. The Amru Yachsar the Yarshim Ishaleach. It goes back to the Yarshim of the original senders. Okay? So my lav. So what's going on over here? Baka Mithlagi. The Tanakama Savar, the first Shita holds Hilech Lav Kizechi, Hilech Lav Kizechi. So therefore, Bikshu Bale Matsu, they went to go find him, he wasn't there. So who does it go to? He died, goes back to the sender, Hilech Lav Kizechi. Reb Nasan, Reb Yaakov Nami, Hilech Lav Kizechi, with a twist. And therefore, who did they say it goes to? Yershei HaMishalech, the Yershim of the original senders. The Avagav Demis, even though the sender had died, still, Lo Yamina Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei HaMeis. Lafukei this last one, right? You don't say Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei HaMeis. That's Shita number two. The Yesh Oimrim that goes to Hilech, the Yesh Oimrim who says it goes to the Yershei Mikabel, that's Hilech Kizechi. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi Yamar Mishim Rabbi Yaakov Shemar Mishim Rabbi Meir Hoylech Lav Kizechi. So what did he say? Rabbi Yehuda Anasi said Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei HaMeis, which sounded like cryptic. But what is he saying? He's saying really Hoylech is Lav Kizechi, except Mihu. If the sender should die before the Mekabel, then right Hoylech Lav Kizechi Mihu Heichad the Miss where the sender dies. I mean Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei HaMeis. That's the next one. Yachloiku. Why do they say Yachloiku? Chacham Yachloiku. That's because Mesafkalahu. They don't know if Hilach is Kazachi or not. So they just split it. Mamana Matabu Safak Cholkin. The Kanamru. And what are the Chachmei Babel who says, Komasha Yirza Shliach Yasid? The Shliach does whatever he wants. You know what they hold? Shuda Adif. Shuda means, and the way Rashi explains Shuda is that we leave it up to the Das of the Shliach. The Shliach was sent by the Mishaleach. So therefore, he would know what's up. Meaning, he would know what's what. Each situation is different. You have to read the situation. So leave it up to the Shliach to determine, does he think that the Mishaleach really would have wanted the Yershir, the recipient, to get it? Does he think not? Does he think he wanted his own kids to get it back? And he, Shuda means, like, leave it up to his opinion, to his estimation of the situation. Reb Shimon Anasi Maisa also Lashmina is telling us a story like the Shita of Meis HaMishtaleach, which we said Yachzer LeYershei HaMishtaleach, that we don't eat. Not only do we say Halach Lav Kizechi, we also say if he dies that we don't say Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei HaMeis. So the Gemara says no, right? So it sounds like within these shitas we would be addressing primarily Halach Kizechi or not, and then separately is there a din of Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei HaMeis, and that's what's kind of going on over here. The Gemara says no, you read that brisa wrong. Loi bibari, bibari dekuli alma loi pligi. If we were dealing with a bari, everybody holds, if it's a healthy guy sending it, everybody holds that we do not say, Hoylech Kizechi. We're dealing with a Shechid Mira. We put the Rebbe Lazar and Rabbanon Kamithlagi. And the Machlekes is between Rebbe Lazar and the Rabbanon, meaning Rebbe Lazar doesn't treat a Shechid Mira any differently than a bari. So the Rashi understands the sugya. Essentially, we just said that this whole Machlekes here is not really Hoylech Lav Kizechi in Halacha, when you're talking about a bari, except the way, like we said before, when it's a shchid mira, then it is. And therefore, it would be halach kezechi if you hold that we vested within the shchid mira that sort of power. And that's a machlekes Rabbi Lazar and the Rabbanim. So do we treat a shchid mira like a bari? Or do we always say halach kezechi? And that's a machlekes tanai. The Tanan, Hamachalik Nechasav Alpiv, a person is dying. So instead of just splitting the assets, right, he has five children, just splitting them amongst the five, according to the normal way, he decides that I'm going to give, you know what, I'm going to give my diamond this, my mother's this to that, right, that thing to that, that piece of furniture to that child, okay, this money to them. So he's deciding, he's now giving Mechalik Alpiv, that's what's called Mechalik Alpiv, Rashi says. B'lik Yishar Marishim Shechokad Yoshim B'Shavah, and giving specific things to specific children. Rebbe Lazar Aymer, Echad Bari V'Echad Mesukin. So whether it is a bari or a masukah, meaning a shchid mira, nechasim sheish al nachrayim nichnem kasev v'shtar v'chazaka, you'd have to fall under the normal rules of kenyan. Divrei shchid mira are not no different than any other person who is trying to give a gift. V'she'ein l'machrayis, if there's the chasim she'ein l'machrayis, ein nichnem elam meshicha. So if it's regular metaltolin, you'd have to meshicha. So machrayis, you'd have to have a shtar. Why? Because a shtar creates a kol. The chasima of the shtar creates a kol. We've had this before. And when it comes to metaltolin, where is the, you're not creating any sort of, they're not nechasim sheish al machrayis, so then you need a meshicha. Point is, according to Rebbe Lazar, you need a kinyan. Why? Because a shchid mira doesn't get any special treatment, according to Rebbe Lazar. No, you do, a shchid mira is nikkan ba'amira. you would get special treatment, halach kezechi, essentially, when he talked about a shchemira. Amru loy, so the Chacham said back to Maisa be'iman shel b'nei Reichel. So they said to Rebbe Lazar that we had a story with the mother of b'nei Reichel, shehaisa chayla, that he was sick, va'amra, and or the mother was sick, and she said, tintain, tinasein, kibinasi, give my brooch or my pin, labiti, okay? And behi b'shtei maser mana, and she died. Okay, so it was worth a lot of money. She died, but keep a chacham mesavara, and the chacham listened to what she said. She was on her deathbed. Amar lahen, to which the chacham said, okay, fine. So we just established the idea that a shchemira could give something over without going through the normal rules of kinyanim. That we could, we were willing to say, like the sheets of chachamim. Amar lahem, so Rav Lazar responded back, b'nei reichel tik b'reim imam. It was a klala. Meaning, b'nei reichel, they're bad guys, and therefore, they did not keep the dinim of klayim, and therefore, don't mention their name in the base medrash. You're trying to bring a raya from them. We don't mention them Loraya, Rashi says. Okay, Tanakama. So again, let's go through these six shitas. Tanakama, Kereb Elazar. So the Tanakama doesn't hold Halachav Kezechi, because everybody holds Halachav Kezechi. But what he says here is, even by Shchimera, I'm going to hold like Rebbe Elazar, which says Shchimera follows the normal rules of Bari. Just like a Bari is Halachav Kezechi, so too a Shchimera is Halachav Kezechi. Reb Nelson, Reb Yaakov, Nami, Kereb Elazar. And they hold also like Rebbe Lazar, except what did they say? That you give to the Yorshei HaMishaleach. Why? Afagam demis loyamim mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames. That's shita number two. The Yeshayim k'rabbanon. The Yeshayim hold like the Rabbanon, which is that Shchemira, we will say divrei Shchemira k'ksuvim m'mesurim dami. Essentially, it's like a Halach Kezechi. Rebbe Yehuda Anasi Shamer Shemira Meir k'Rebbe Lazar. He holds like Rebbe Lazar, meaning that a shchemira doesn't get any special treatment, and therefore it doesn't really work, except with one twist, is miyu hechad the miss, if the mishaleach dies, amin mitzvah kaim divrei hames. V'chachamim ma'amim yachoyku, misafka lehu. They, again, safek, you're right, it was safek, but not safek halal chazechi, safek if we paskin like Rabbi Lazar or the chachamim, the kan amru, and the kan amru, the chachmei bavel said, shu da adif, leave it up to the shaliach. Reb Shimon Hanasi Maisa Asher Lashmino. So it was 6 + 1. Reb Shimon Hanasi was another shita, but really going like what we think is Mesa Mishnaleach, that like Rabbi Lazar, which is what we said. Reb Yehuda, Reb Shimon Hanasi. At this point, we're thinking he basically said that like Reb Nassan and Reb Yaakov, that it goes back to the Yarshei Mishnaleach, meaning we don't treat two things. Number one, we don't treat a Shchemirani better than a Bari, like Rebbe Lazar, and we don't say mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames. So it goes back to the Yarshim of the original sender. Now, Ibayaluhu, Rav Shimon Hanasi Nasihu, was Rav Shimon Hanasi, or Oy Mishmei de Nasi Kamar? Was he saying this memra over from the Nasi? Tashma, Dabar Rav Yosef, Halacha k'Rav Shimon Hanasi. Well, Rav Yosef quoted that the Halacha is like Rav Shimon Hanasi. Still, we haven't answered our question. What is going on over here? So Tosfos says that we don't find this name of Shimon Hanasi. So we're asking, is there a guy Shimon Hanasi, or is a guy a Tana named Shimon who heard it from the Nasi? And then we tried to bring a raya from Rav Yosef. Well, we see Rav Yosef called him Shimon Hanasi, and we're saying that no. Again, we still don't know if that Rav Yosef was just saying over Lishna the Brisa, or he wasn't necessarily certifying the fact that it was a Nasi. Teiku, we don't know that answer. Okay, Gufa, Amar Rav Yosef, Halacha k'Rav Shimon Hanasi. The Halacha is k'Rav Shimon Hanasi. So Rav Shimon Hanasi, the way we quoted it, was that he has basically two chumras. Who does it go back to? It goes back to the Yershei of the Mishaleach. Why? Because according to the way, our modified way, we go like Rebbe Lazar, that a Bari, a Shchemira is like a Bari, Ha'ilech Lav Kezechi, doesn't work. And number two, we don't say mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames. So even in an instance, again, if the sender had died, if you hold mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames, even if you don't hold halach kezechi, we would say there's a separate din of mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames. But in the situation where if the sender should die and the recipient's still alive, it's still, and then the recipient dies, so who's it going to go back? It's going to go back to the Yershei of the sender because we don't say mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames. We learned that divrei shchemira k'sumim m'sumim damai. So Rav Yosef mugila bebari. That we're talking about, you'd have to say that Rav Yosef, we learned Rav Shimon Hanasi, that we're talking about a bari. V'hal diyarshim mishaleach ka'amar, the kaimel mitzvah l'kame divrei hames. So the tani yachsru l'mishaleach. So you'd have to relearn Rav Yosef would have to, if you're going to hold of these two shitas, that Divrei Shechem Rak Yisurim Mesurim Damai, and Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ameis, you would have to relearn Rav Shimon's shita. The Rav Shimon Anasi is holding again that in Rav Shimon Anasi, where Rav Yosef is saying the halacha is like, even though he holds, he would have to learn like the first sad of how we learned this whole slew, which is Halach Kazachi or not, and it's a bari, and therefore it doesn't go to him. And he would have to also switch his shita to say that he doesn't hold that it goes, if Mesa Mishtaleach, it goes to the, if the sender dies, it goes to the Yarshe Mishtaleach. You'd have to switch him to say it goes to the Yarshe of the recipient, because he really does hold Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ameis. So when Rav Yosef says the halacha is like Rav Shimon Hanasi, and that's what he's saying, but Rav Yosef holds Divrei Shechem Rak Sumer Mesurim Damai, and he holds that what? That we do Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ameis, so you'd have to modify Rav Shimon Hanasi, and you'd have to go like the first side of learning here, otherwise you're going to run into problems.